Welcome to this summer's Reader's Theater. Our Reader's Theater is entitled Monkeys in My Family or the Scopes Trial. And we'll explain all that in the following dialogue to come. I'd like to introduce our cast. The first person is named Ru Yu. She is the UU Summer Camp Director, and that's played by Joe Murdoch. Second is, dropped her hat. Second is Neo Novo, a new UU, and that's played, person is played by Ruth DeSmit. Third is Roger Baldwin, a famous Unitarian social reformer, played by Bob Britton. And fourth is William Jennings Bryan, a famous orator and pacifist, played by Glenn Jacob. And last, but of course not least, is Clarence Darrow, a fiery attorney and defender of social outcasts, played by Bob Meyerson. Now, this cast might appear to be rather odd, but I will explain. The scene for our play is an orientation meeting at a UU summer camp. And this camp is a very different kind of camp. I've chosen to show this, start our play in this way to demonstrate a key event in our Unitarian UU heritage, the so-called monkey trial of 1925, which pitted the theory of evolution against fundamentalism, especially biblical fundamentalism. And those folks charged that the theory of evolution claimed that humans descended directly from monkeys and was therefore abhorrent and false. That's why this event got the title of monkey trial. And this took place, this trial took place in Dayton, Tennessee, in the Deep South. It was largely brought about by the intervention of Roger Baldwin, who at that time was a prominent Unitarian from Massachusetts and one of the founders of the American Civil Liberties Union, which started, I believe, in the early 20s. And it was active mainly locally until this trial, and then it became nationally known. And, of course, now it's known as the ACLU by its initials. And furthermore, the dialogue in this play between Darrow and Bryan, you might be interested to know, is lifted from the actual trial records. So there's some pithy history in this play. And the setup at this summer camp is very very different kind of camp, as I mentioned. And imagine you were just invited for a stay at our camp. It is soon apparent that it is no ordinary UU summer camp, because this camp allows its participants to have direct experience of historical events and persons. So the camp orientation you will see today will bring to life a past historical event and its people. This will all be explained by our camp director, who will now provide you with an introduction to the program.
Hello, my name is Ru Yu, and I am the director of our summer camp. I want to welcome you all to your first session at Camp Good Fight. As UUs, we relish following the command of St. Paul to fight the good fight for social justice, hence the name of our facility. Our program is quite different from that found at other Unitarian Universalist summer camps. To demonstrate, I've asked a new UU member, Neo Nuovo, to assist me. Please welcome her to the podium.
Thank you. I am eager to hear about your program. But before we start, I have a question.
Fire away.
Your name, well, it sounds kind of weird.
Well,
where did you get it?
Well, when I was born, my mother, Mimi Yu, couldn't decide between names like Ruth and Eustace, so I became Rue. She was also a lifelong Unitarian Universalist and felt that Rue Yu had a certain ring to it. What about your name?
Well, oh, mine just has a similar beginning as well, except my mom was new to UUism and felt my name should celebrate her newfound faith. Hence, I became Neo Nuevo. At first, I wasn't so sure about it, but now I like it. It's special.
Yeah. Well, there's no accounting for tastes, as they say. But let's move on to our program. Are you prepared to be amazed?
Sure. I don't amaze easily, but let's give it a whirl.
Okay. How would you like to be directly involved in the good fights that UUs have been involved in over the years? Through our virtual reality program, you can actually speak with, listen to, observe, and interact with important people who have directly or indirectly helped to form the UU tradition. We have a vast menu of good fights to choose from, such as fights against sexism, the effects of climate change, the stigma of the mentally ill, slavery, cruelty to animals, religious intolerance.
Now, there's a favorite topic of mine. Could we jump into the religious intolerance fight?
Oh, of course. Here's how it works. Using our camp Pick a Fight Time Warp, we can make visible the important people who struggled for social justice in whatever battle we choose.
Wow, I'm impressed. Yeah. When can we start?
Well, I'd suggest that we start with the Scopes Monkey Trial of 1925. This trial really set the stage for the many clashes between science and religious fundamentalism that were yet to come.
Okay, it is your call. I'm going to enjoy this fight.
I'll start up by calling Roger Baldwin. He can give us some important background information. Roger Baldwin, please.
Thank you for calling me. I'm always eager to tell the story of this trial. It was one of our greatest early successes in the fight against religious intolerance.
Thanks, Mr. Baldwin. Could you tell us a bit about how the trial got set up?
Yes, it's a strange story. In 1925, the state of Tennessee passed a law forbidding the teaching of evolution in public schools. We had just formed the ACLU and decided to invalidate this terrible law with a test case in court, since we felt the law was an infringement of academic freedom. First, we needed to find someone to challenge the law, so we worked with the local community and secured the participation of John Scopes, a local high school teacher. At our instruction, he discussed the theory of evolution in his biology class a few days later and was duly arrested by the local authorities. This started the procedures for setting up the trial, so that we then started to search for someone to represent us at the trial and provide our defense.
So, okay, you mean you set things up so there was a problem, and then you had to find someone really good to save your skins in court.
It was kind of like that, but we didn't have much time. Plus, we wanted to get some big gun involved to make sure that we got good press coverage and lots of publicity to help our cause. Also, we thought we had a good cause, and we wanted to let the whole country know about it, since we were sure there would be nationwide radio coverage.
Wow, that is a tall order. So who did you get?
We got the biggest gun of all, Clarence Darrow. He was a famous criminal lawyer from Chicago who made a reputation defending people who were underdogs and needed a lot of help. He was a freethinker who believed in science and strongly opposed any type of religious intolerance. He decided to take our case without compensation and defend us. We figured there was no way we could lose now.
Well, okay. So who did the other side get?
William Jennings Bryan, one of the most famous orators in America, who agreed to help the prosecution by speaking in its behalf. Bryan was a famous politician who supported a lot of populist causes favored by poor farmers and people living in small towns in the Midwest and the South. He identified with the common people and had the nickname of the Great Commoner. He was extremely popular, and thousands of people would turn out to hear him. He was also a devoted fundamentalist who insisted the Bible was the literal word of God. So the stage was set for a big showdown. We had our work cut out for us, but we felt sure we would win.
Phew, this sounds like too much of a history lesson for me. Lots of talk and no action. Could we jazz things up a little bit?
Yes, I think our campers might like to see a little more drama. Well, bear with me, and I'll bring out Mr. Darrow and Mr. Bryan, and they can provide some verbal fireworks. Mr. Darrow, Mr. Bryan. See, Neo? Isn't virtual reality wonderful? Welcome, Mr. Darrow, Mr. Bryan. We would very much appreciate hearing from both of you about your points of view.
Thank you.
Good morning.
What is this place?
How are you? Yeah, where are we? Roger, always good
he's
to...
Over there.
Oh, no, he's over there. Always good to see you, of course. I assume that your friends are also here on this... and this talk about the upcoming trial.
That's true, Mr. Darrow. We think this trial will address some very important issues.
Well, you are all welcome. I, for one, am willing to talk to anyone about our disagreements.
I thought you only spoke to God.
Calm down, Mr. Darrow. I think we should describe our purposes here to these good people. Could I ask your name?
Of course. Wow, this is amazing. My name is Neo Nuevo, and this is the camp leader, Mrs. Yu.
Well, welcome to both of you. Neo, that's an interesting name. You know, I once had a cat.
Mr. Bryan, your mind is wandering again. Let's get back to business. I think we should tell our friends here about some of the main issues to be covered in this trial.
Of course, my main issue here, as you call it, is to defend the integrity of the Holy Bible as God's chosen word.
Which you believe to be literally the word of God.
Of course, and which godless atheists like you you wish to destroy it.
That is a completely untrue statement. But I know you and your kind clings to such silly ideas. And I am an agnostic, not an atheist. Atheists are too much dogmatic for me. You neglect to mention that your other main interest is prohibiting the teaching of evolution, a theory accepted by the entire scientific community in the public schools.
That is correct. It is a theory which maintains that humans are descended from brutes, and not created by God. To believe such nonsense is to malign the entire human species and to reduce all of its magnificent accomplishments to the level of a pigsty. It should never be forced upon the innocent minds of our children. Why? It will ruin them for life.
Oh, how quaint and how totally wrong you are. Be as it may, you should know that at the trial tomorrow, I will cross-examine you as the witness for those backwards beliefs about the Bible and creation that you prize, but which impede sound judgment and the progress of civilization.
Could you two stop fighting for a moment and show us how this trial got going?
Fair enough, Mrs. Yu. I know
Thank
we
you.
Can get carried away at times. Well, Mr. Darrow, you may do with me as you wish during the trial, but as God is my shield, I shall prevail. The word is of God is not to be mocked, Mr. Darrow. I will even be happy to demonstrate that for you right now. Shall we proceed?
Of course. If you wish to be crucified in advance, I'll be glad to oblige. Let's begin.
This is great. Maybe we'll get to see fundamentalism strangled in its cradle right here and now.
Don't bet on it. But let's pay close attention as we watch these two gladiators go at each other.
My first question to you, Mr. Bryant, is this. Since you say you have given considerable study to the Bible, do you claim that everything in the Bible should be literally interpreted?
I do. Everything in the Bible should be accepted as it is, the divinely inspired Word of God.
So you have no doubts about what the Bible says, even if it may sometimes be contradicted by itself and by science.
One miracle is just as easy to believe as another.
For example, the Bible says that Joshua commanded the sun to stand still for the purpose of lengthening the day so the Israelites could be victorious in battle. Do you believe the sun rotates around the earth?
God can command the sun to do anything he pleases. He created it, after all.
We'll get back to the sun later on. But for purposes of discussion here, let me assume that in this case, God would have made the earth stand still instead of the sun. Have you ever pondered what would happen to the earth if it actually stood still?
It would never have even interested me enough to find out.
Never interested you? Don't you know it would have been converted into a molten mass of matter and thus become completely uninhabitable?
The God I believe in would simply have taken care of that, Mr. Darrow.
And do you contend that the God you believe in destroyed all the animals and humans on earth except those in the ark when he caused the great flood?
I do.
And when was that flood?
Why, my Bible estimates it occurred about 2,348 B.C., and I accept that.
All right. Do you then believe that those who were in the ark have produced every nation, every population, every organization, every animal of the world, and this all has to come into being in the last 4,000 years?
I am not interested in such speculations. I am more interested in what is going on with Christians right now.
But you claim an interest in divine creation. Have you never investigated to find out how long humans have been on this earth?
I have never found it necessary.
Don't you know that ancient civilizations like China and India are 6,000 or 7,000 years old at the very least?
No, you know they could not possibly have existed prior to the creation.
Have you ever read a book about ancient civilizations, their origins, or their history?
No, sir. I have been so well satisfied with the Christian religion that I've spent no time trying to find arguments against it.
Are you afraid that you might find some?
No, I am not.
Okay, Mr. Bryan, you speak a lot about human origins and regard the Bible as a great authority on the subject, while you disparage the ideas of evolution as a nonsensical theory, incapable of proof. I want to ask you a few questions about the reliability of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the story of Adam and Eve?
Very familiar, of course, Mr. Darrow. More so than you, I would suggest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Bible said that Adam and Eve had two children, Cain and Abel. According to the Bible, there were no other human beings on earth at that time. Can you tell me where Cain got his wife?
God is the master of the universe, and he can do as he pleases.
Okay, in the book of Genesis, it says that God created morning and evening on the first, second, and third day. And the fourth day, he created the sun. Can you tell me how there could be morning and evening on the first 3 days without the sun?
I believe in God's creation as told in the Bible, and even if I can't explain it, I will accept it.
Do you believe that the serpent tempted Eve in the garden?
Of course I do.
And do you believe that God punished the serpent for tempting Eve by making him crawl on his belly for all eternity?
I believe what the Bible says.
Really? Really? And how, sir, do you think the serpent got along before? Do you think he walked on his tail?
Mr. Darrow, your only purpose here is not to discover the truth. It is only to slur and mock the Bible. I am simply trying to protect the Word of God from you and your kind who want to force your contempt on our schools, our colleges, and all of our citizens.
I object to that, sir. I am trying to do, all I'm trying to do here is to expose your foolish ideas that no intelligent Christian would even believe.
Thank you, gentlemen, for summarizing your arguments so well. Well, quite a performance, don't you agree? They went on like this during the actual trial for about 4 hours, and I think that this gives you a good sample of their confrontation. Any thoughts or questions?
Yeah, that was quite a show, but hard to see who won. How did the actual trial turn out?
Well, Brian won. Scopes was convicted for violating the law, which was a misdemeanor, and fined $100. That was paid by the ASLU.
That's good.
But though Brian won the case, he felt thoroughly humiliated by Daryl's treatment of him during the trial. Subsequently, he died in his sleep 6 days later. Some said he died of a broken heart. Daryl, however, was far less sympathetic and, aware of Brian's famous appetite for food, remarked that Brian didn't die from a broken heart. He died from a busted gut.
How did the Unitarian Universalists back then feel about the trial?
Well, we weren't called UUs until the early 1960s, but the Unitarians back then saw this courtroom battle as definitely a good fight, because even though we lost, we managed to score a lot of key points against biblical fundamentalism.
So, if we scored lots of points, key points, why is fundamentalism so strong today?
Well, even good fights have mixed results. In a way, the Scopes trial actually energized the fundamentalist movement.
Oh.
They now saw themselves as besieged and victimized by slick big city lawyers like Darrow, by the media, by intellectuals, and various intellectual elites, and like professors and academics, etc. So they started to organize in a big way, and the rest is history.
So do you think there's bound to be more good fights like this in the future?
Probably. Still, let's hope we can learn to reason together in a spirit of goodwill rather than just throwing arguments at each other. Mm-hmm. Nobody wins in that kind of encounter.
Good point, Roger. So, this concludes our orientation session for this morning. I want to thank Neo and each of our virtual reality visitors for assisting us here in our demonstration today. We hope all of you will find your own good fight to pursue while you are here at this camp, Camp Good Fight. Thank you for coming, and have a good day.